Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The South Dakota State Legislature is studying access to mental health services this summer through the work of five task forces. State Representative Jean Hunhoff chairs a committee looking at nursing home criteria in the state. The group holds their first meeting on July 17th. Representative Hunhoff joins us today from the SDPB Vermilion Studios with a preview. Representative Hunhoff, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, Lori, and thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Before we get into the details of what's ahead for this study, I'm wondering if you would let us know your interest over the years. This is a topic that you're not just new to the conversation.
No, I'm not. I am a registered nurse. I've been in practice for the past 30 years and have been involved in all facets, and especially the majority of my career was in home care and hospice. So certainly was dealing with the end spectrum and elderly population. Also, being from Yankton, I live physically across the street from the Human Service Center and have been actively involved there. And so with my passion and my desire always to look at what is the highest quality of care we can deliver to our South Dakota residents, especially with mental health. You know, people are still on the time frame that mental health illness is something that you can just cure overnight. Just like if I have a ruptured appendix, or I shouldn't say ruptured, but I have a hot appy and they take it out, I'm fine in 6 weeks. I'm going to go on. But mental illness is long term. And so we need to recognize that, and we need to start looking at that. And with everything else that's going on with healthcare in our state, this certainly is rising to the top. And last summer, when we had the major study on mental health access, a lot of the topics that are being studied this summer were assessed, ferreted out, and we came up with these priority areas to address.
From a housekeeping standpoint, tell us a little bit about the upcoming meeting, some of the areas that you intend to cover so people know what's on the agenda.
Thank you. We did set our first meeting for July 17th, and that will be in Pierre. And what we want at this first meeting is really an overview of the long-term care unit or geriatric unit at the Human Service Center. And that will be provided by Amy Iverson-Polarize from the Department of Social Services. And a lot of the members of the committee, legislative-wise, are probably new to this arena unless they've had some personal experience of family members at HSC. So really getting a historical perspective, how the unit was started, what is the process for someone coming from the community into the HSC long-term care? What are the sources of referrals? What is the diagnosis of those populations, and how has that changed over the course of time? Length of stay, why do residents not go back to the community? How many of the residents do not have family or are wards of the state? And then what is the primary payer source, or how are we finding resources to support these activities? Then in the afternoon, we're going to look at some case studies. Certainly over the course of the year, we have heard a lot of discussion coming from West River, especially the Rapid City area, about the lack of access. And certainly when they have someone, they have to come way across the state to have that individual placed in the facility and then maybe not return. So we want to hear about some case studies or some examples of that are occurring. And then the final piece is we want to look at models in other states. You know, this has been our model in South Dakota, but unless we reach out and explore what other states are doing, are they continuing to have long-term care facilities in their mental health facilities, or something else happening? You always get a better perspective of what other models are out there and what might be achievable. So that will be what we'll cover at our first meeting, and also will provide opportunity for public input. Later on, late summer, early fall, we will have another meeting. We will formulate that agenda after we complete this first meeting to see if there are other areas we need to explore. And then we will have a final meeting in November where we'll sort of do an overall closure and see if we can concur on some recommendations or some potential legislation that would be introduced in the 2020 session.
There's a public input time frame. What kind of public testimony is useful in these sort of meetings when there's so much information coming at lawmakers? If people are thinking about participating and they have a story to tell, what sort of stories do you want to hear? What works and what's effective?
I think what works is if there's something that is dealing with long-term care and placement at the Human Service Center, it could be providers from long-term care that have taken someone to HSC and then they've said, I can't take that individual back. It might be coming to explain why they can't take those kind of individuals back to their facilities or back to their home communities. It could be families that are sharing stories that they only had this as an alternative was to have their family member admitted to the geriatric unit at HSC, and maybe they live at the other end of the state, so their ability to see and support that person is not there. And the other aspect, there could be some individuals themselves that have been impacted. So there's no closure, but my intent is to keep it focused on the long-term care facility at the Human Service Center, as that's where our focus is at.
Tell us a little bit about how that long-term care center operates that you already know, especially as it compares to, you know, people who are spending time at an Avera facility, for example, or at another community facility. How are they different, and how do their services overlap?
With that question, I'm not going to be specific to the private facilities that are in existence. They did come and provide testimony, but I'm more familiar with HSC. So really, that's the model that I'm looking at and that I'll describe to you. You know, currently we have 69 licensed beds that are certified by CMS for both Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. And I would just use fiscal year 18. We had admissions or transfers from the acute care program of 30 individuals. The interesting piece is the length of stay for discharge patients. In fiscal year 18, it was 752.6 days. So that is years that people are staying there. So that suggests that when someone enters there, their likelihood of leaving and moving to another setting is very low probability. And I think that's what you might find in the private behavioral health, in the essence that they have short-term stays and then they're back into communities, into mental health centers, long-term care, you know, whatever resources are out there. And I think the other interesting piece is when you're looking at the private sectors, those are generally voluntary committals. That means I'm seeking help, and so I'm going to that facility. Where at HSC in fiscal year 18, 92% of those individuals that entered that facility were involuntary committals. So that means that they were admitted. And the reason they were admitted, either there was some mental illness commitment or there was some chemical dependency or it was court ordered or it was just for the safety of that individual that they couldn't take care of themselves in another setting or whatever. And I think that's really where the changes or what we're trying to find out is, why is it that we have that length of stay and what's prohibiting these people returning to their home communities or at least someplace closer where there are behavioral health services? I think the other thing is when you look at diagnoses of what these individuals have, again, in fiscal year 18, 62% of those that were admitted to geriatrics have a diagnosis of dementia, Alzheimer's, or other neurocognitive disorder. And if you look at those are not necessarily mental illness. And that's the center, is a mental illness center to deal with that. So that raises the question, and in its statute, it talks about organic brain syndrome as one of the reasons. And I think that's something else we want to look at. You know, people that suffer dementia or Alzheimer's, they have some cognitive weakening that's going on, and that could be due to just a deterioration of a brain matter or whatever. And so a reaction or what happens sometimes is that people become maybe verbally abusive or behaviorally abusive, and they're out in the community, either at home or in a facility, and they can't manage them. And so then those individuals are brought to HSC. And so do they really have a mentally ill diagnosis? And what we would be looking at in fiscal year 18, serious mental illness, there were 9 patients out of that population of 69. So again, we need to assess, are there other ways that we can provide excellent treatment to these individuals in a different type of setting, or is this our only alternative?
How does this all intersect with the broader conversation that we're having about nursing homes in general and some of the challenges in rural communities, particularly about funding, you know, nursing homes that are closing? Some of them may have memory care units, for example.
You know, in this past session, again, we certainly, that was our priority in funding, and the long-term care facilities did get a 10% increase. You know, funding will be an issue, and that will be what will come to the table. That will be part of the discussion, because one of the things are, is if you're keeping these individuals in a long-term care facility, in a nursing home, it does require probably more staffing, and it also requires that your staff have training in modalities or treatments that deal with behavioral health, which typically may not be the case. You know, the flavor of the long-term care facilities is changing. I don't know about you, but when my grandmother was in, she was a walker and a talker. That meant she had a walker, she got herself around doing things. The population now that is in long-term care is very much dependent upon almost total personal care, helping with their hygiene, helping with their dressing, with their meals, assisting them with activities of daily living. So that population has changed. And if it requires more staffing and more intense, then as providers out there, they don't have the workforce. So then they have to look at what can we provide for quality of care? What kind of patients can we admit? Because if you now have a compromised patient that has a chronic disease and an exacerbation, and you put on top of that some kind of cognitive dysfunctioning, being Alzheimer's or granite brain, again, then I'm going to need more staff. We've got a workforce shortage. So I think that we're trying to see, is there an opportunity that if we're going to do anything different, and we would try to take some of those individuals out of the nursing home at HSC and relocate them back to their communities, what kind of resources would those communities have to have those facilities? And of course, one of the ideas will be, well, we're going to have more dollars for Medicaid to support that. But you might also have to look at some other infrastructure or some delivery models. If you notice on our committee, we do have representation from long-term care, because I think that's important in any discussion about these individuals and doing something different. You've got to bring in long-term care. But how can we partner together to design a model that will facilitate? At the same time, in the communities, you have the behavioral health centers. Again, they are partners in this because they provide some of the resources to long-term care. Someone comes in and does the mental health with some of the residents. So it's not an easy answer. It's looking at a different model and how we can get it to work effectively.
Do you have a sense of, do you think, or is this not something that even comes into your mind, but is there an ideal for you, especially when I'm what I'm thinking about is these people from West River who have said so vocally, and many people from rural communities too, that the location of HSC is, you know, separates families. It makes it incredibly difficult. In your mind, is there sort of an ideal way to meet the needs of elderly people who need these kinds of services in South Dakota? If you could, you know, wave a magic wand, what would it look like?
You know, I don't want to be biased in that. I want to keep a very open mind. I have some ideas, but again, I need to hear all the scenarios that are out there, and I want my committee members to also hear that. And again, I'm not sure of their working relationship with HSC and what they know about. So, you know, I think we have to look at a model that you just addressed. How can we increase that access so they wouldn't have to leave their community? How do we have the right resources, that being the professional staff, to deal with behavioral health? If you're going to put them in a long-term care facility, what are the educational resources that need to be for staff in how to deal with behavioral health issues? And then again, do you have the mental health practitioners in that community that can provide the support basis? So I think I'm more looking at what are the components that would be a nice continuum, and then how do you work to make that happen?
Tell me, living in Yankton as you do, and for the time that you have, you've watched this facility go through changes, even as our definition of mental illness and our understanding of mental illness has changed. There's been turnover in leadership, and new people have come in with new ideas. How have you sort of watched that change alongside this sort of social notion of how we even talk about mental illness shifting?
I'm going to go back to the 70s when the law changed and there was a mass exodus from HSC of patients. Their rights were reinstated and they were back in the communities. And I will tell you, when I'm in Pierre, I always advocate about how Yankton is the leader for mental health services in South Dakota. And it is because by that departure, those individuals didn't have any place to go other than Yankton. I mean, some of them were wards of the state, no family, and the community took them in, and we developed an excellent behavioral health, mental health center, Lewis and Clark Behavioral Health, that has partnered. We have an assisted living. We have an impact program. We have housing for mentally ill individuals. So we've sort of developed that. Now, as you mentioned, yes, the change in leadership has been rather surprising to me in the sense, but I think we have to drill down, and it's not the legislature, it is the Department of Social Services, is what is contributing to this short-term leadership that we have at HSC, because every time you get a new administrator in, you sort of have a different path, you've got to respond to that. But the one consistency is that the employees out there are probably in state government, the longevity is at the Human Service Center, and it's really in that geriatric unit. Because again, a lot of the individuals that are in that unit have no family, and the employees have taken them on. They aren't retiring. They could be, but they're staying on because they're concerned there isn't a workforce to replace them. And so as a result, they're committing their commitment to take care of these individuals. So I think that this changing of administration, and somehow the department's got to settle this down and figure out why that is, engaging the employees in making the changes that is necessary and responding to the changing needs and trying to get these people back into the community and engaging outside the community. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago, there were some work groups that the secretary had started, and it was under the direction of the lieutenant governor, and we were looking at how do we engage long-term care to be able to want to be able to take the residents back into their communities. And one of the things that surfaced was that they really needed the education and training, and they needed the communication. So there was supposed to be development of teams that would go out to long-term care, and I'll just pick a community, and I don't even know if it occurred, but let's say somebody wanted to go back to Tyndall, and so there would be a team from HSC that would work with the Tyndall Nursing Home, the Good Sam there, and work with the staff to help acclimate and get this person settled. Well, it started out, but we had a change again, and that has not necessarily been implemented to the full impact. So we have to start putting things into place, holding some accountability, and then supporting those resources, because that's really what it's about. It's supporting those communities. But as I say, I go back to Yankton. We have responded very positively to these individuals. They're part of our community, and we've really taken the ownership and being accountable to them to enhance their quality of life, to welcome them. You know, somebody can have a mental health crisis in a business or a meltdown. It's not a negative thing, and people go staring at it. They realize they need to get the right resources and get that person back to the facility or whatever. So, you know, I'm always using that as a role model, that why we can't do that in more communities, that these people, they're not frightening. They're just having a crisis, and we're helping them to settle in and achieve that highest level of quality of life.
South Dakota State Representative Jean Hunhoff has joined us from the SDPB studios in Vermilion, and she's talking about the upcoming task force as part of this overall look that the South Dakota legislature continues to take at mental health services and the access to them in the state. This committee meets on July 17th for the first time, and it's about redefining nursing home criteria. Jean Hunhoff, thank you so much for being here with us. Please come back again with updates.
I will do that. Thank you so very much, and have a great 4th of July.